Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. I'm going to piggyback on Brian. Brian has been teaching us and pretty well out of the book of Hebrews all the month. And I just was having so much fun in Hebrews, so I'm going to preach on it this morning. And I really like the book of Hebrews, actually. I remember I was first studying the Bible, not understanding what the different books were, difference in the Old and New Testament, and all sorts of things like that. And somebody said a simple outline to the book of Hebrews is the word better. And I still find it the same thing. The book of Hebrews compares the Jewish religion and the Jewish heroes of the faith to Jesus Christ. And in every case, Jesus Christ comes off better.
Amen.
Jesus is always better. In fact, that is a pretty good picture of the New Testament. The Old Testament was glorious when it was made and doing and God was moving. But I tell you what, once Jesus Christ comes, there's so much glory in the gospel and in the New Testament that it's like the other didn't even exist hardly. The glory is the fulfillment that we have in the New Testament. And that's what Hebrews is all about. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would take your word and feed it into our hearts and minds. I pray you'd change somebody's life today. I pray if there's a lost soul in the sound of my voice, that soul would call on you and get saved. I pray, dear God, that you'd give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give and that your word will go out with clarity.
Amen.
Move upon somebody's heart.
Yes.
And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to read the first four verses, if you'll follow me, in chapter 1. And we won't go through the reading. I'm not going to read that far. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Let me tell you something. Did you see he was better than the angels?
Yes.
He's better than the angels.
Amen.
You're going to find that word, and it's going to go through here in just several instances, and you ought to read it. In fact, Brian teaching that, I kept looking at it, and I read it two or three times this week and just enjoyed reading again the book of Hebrews. It's a tremendous thing. Jesus is better. The New Testament is better. The gospel is better. All the religions aren't equal. Most religion does not have anything close to the gospel. Now, it's a shame that we have so many preachers that are abusing the word of God and abusing the gospel and not teaching it straight or being afraid they'll lose their job if they hurt somebody's feeling because they call something sin. That's a shame. But you know something? God has spoken to us. You realize what a great thing that is? God has spoken to us. You better pay attention.
Amen.
You know, I was a pretty hard daddy, and I admit to it, I probably was too hard at some times. Thought I was too easy at other times. But when I spoke, they better listen, or they were going to be in trouble. I would step outside in my front yard and whistle. I can't whistle anymore. See, I'd gap in my teeth. And I don't know how to stick my fingers in my mouth and make it work. But I could whistle. Man, I'd go, wheat, wheat, and the kids come home. Wherever they were, they knew that was... I didn't have to call them on the telephone, and I didn't have to run around and chase them down. When they heard that whistle, they knew it was time to pay attention and head home, because Daddy's going to be mad if we're not there pretty quick. Your kids have anything like that? They ought to. Come on, you wimps. Raise up some kids. Raise up some obedient children. Amen? I tell you, I know what old men think like now. I'm an old man. I remember when I'm walking down with my cigarettes rolled up in my t-shirts, you know, thinking I'm some tough young thing like that, and old men looking at me and disgusted. Now then, I'm disgusted. You understand? You don't look so big. You don't look so tough. You don't look so good. You're not a man. You're not a man yet, are you? No. Well, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. What you've got in the Old Testament is the message of the prophets. You got the books of Moses. You got the books of Isaiah and Jeremiah and all the way up to Malachi and David. David, the great psalm writer. He was a poet, and he had to be a genius. He was not only a military genius, he was a personal fighter. He had faith. Wow, what a man. He made musical instruments. He wrote hymn after hymn after hymn. And some people say, well, you don't know that the Psalms are all by him. Let me tell you what. Take a look at the acrostic Psalms. And you know what that is? That is taking a letter of the Hebrew alphabet and making... Well, in chapter 119, 8 verses to begin with that first letter. And then the second 8 verses go to the second letter. And through the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, you've got all of this beautiful poetry and music and whatever. Now, it doesn't say that David wrote in the thing that he wrote Psalm 119. But the other 6 or 7 acrostic poems say David. They say David. It's the book of David. We got this great poet. We got these great prophets, and it's a wonderful thing. What a tremendous thing that you would go and lay your head on a rock over there in the Near East, and God would come down to you. Happened to Jacob. Happened to Jacob. I don't have any rocks for pillows. Any of y'all using rocks for pillows? No, I got the softest thing I can find. And I want 2 of them. I want to be wrapped up in 2 of them. One of them under here and one of them here, okay? And then I just roll back and forth on the bed, back and forth on the bed. Ah, well, that was real spiritual teaching there. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, in different times, in odd places, with very unusual people. Have you looked at the ancestry of Jesus Christ? You see, the people that are in the ancestry of Jesus Christ, there's a harlot. There's a harlot. There are a lot of others that are just, man, I'm telling you, they're just weird people. But God Almighty spoke with a lot of different people. Sundry times, sundry manners, sundry men. Wow, how about God? That's how we got the word. Divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now that was glorious. I believe the Old Testament is the word of God. I honor it. I read it all the time. I continually read through the Bible. I read more in the New Testament than I read anywhere else because I like the New Testament better. Because it shines better. It's because it's more glorious. It's because it's so clear. And how we see the great salvation that God Almighty created. Wow! It explains everything in the Old Testament. The Old Testament was there to be the foundation for the new. But once the new has come, wow, wow. He spoke in time past by the prophets. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a little problem with Ezekiel and Hezekiah and a few others of them. They're not as clear as Matthew, Mark, or John, or Romans.
Amen.
Do you think so?
Amen.
Now maybe Danny, he might work that Old Testament. Brother Taylor used to work with me, and Brother Taylor was, man, he was an expert on the tabernacle. I was holding revival meetings. I went out into Baytown, and I preached this revival meeting, and the pastor, had his garage had been turned into a tabernacle. He had built it. It was full scale. It was the right colors. He'd made all these things. He was fascinated with the tabernacle like Brother Taylor was. Only thing, he built him one, and his whole garage, you could walk around the edge. And he would show you this, and he would show you the badger skins, and he would show you the this and that. And that. He had the whole thing. Fascinated him. Never did fascinate me that much. I take a look at Jesus Christ and I say, wow. I hear the gospel coming to me and say, I'll forgive your sins if you'll repent of them.
Amen.
You don't have to die in your sins anymore.
Amen.
You don't have to fear death anymore. If you'll come to me, I'll forgive you. I'll be your lawyer. That's what an advocate is.
Amen.
I'll be your lawyer. And hey, what better lawyer can you get than the son of the judge?
Amen.
You can't beat that. I mean, you got it going all the way. He spake in time past unto our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his son.
Amen.
Do you realize how much higher that privilege is there? Does it strike you what you have? I think a lot of times we don't think about it. We're just living life. We're trying to make a living. We're trying to find a girlfriend or trying to find a boyfriend. We're trying to raise our kids and try to keep them from being all the world. We don't want to be too hard. We don't want to be too soft. We got all of these problems that face us every day of our life. And we sometimes don't think about the privileges God has given us.
Amen.
By what he's done.
Amen.
But boy, you've had them. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. You know who you got to talk to by? Creator of the world.
Amen.
His word is with power. Do you know why everything just doesn't fly off of this ball and run out there? And what gravity is what God made it to be and what Jesus Christ's word said it. And as soon as he takes his word away, it'll all fall apart. By the word of his power, by whom also he made the world. Now he's the brightness of God's glory. Let's just think for a minute about the Ten Commandments. Now I don't know about you, still, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lust. We got 10 commandments. Do you know what? They're the basis of all law in the world. Really simple. Really simple, right there. And they're all negative. Every one of them. When Jesus Christ comes along, you know what he said? He said, two. You don't have to worry about the 10 anymore. Now, I was taught to memorize the 10 when I was young. And I think it's a good thing. They ought to have it in every school. They ought to have it on every street corner.
Amen.
I think it's a very good thing having the 10
yes,
commandments.
Amen.
But just think of the difference in the way that Jesus teaches. He doesn't tell you, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He says, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart. Can you do that? With all your mind? With all your soul? Wow. All your strength? Aren't you awful busy living? I was convicted when I read the Ten Commandments in the Bible. Convicted me of my sin. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was headed for hell. But man, once I saw what Jesus said, that takes care of all the commandments about thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt love the Lord your God. It's a positive commandment. It's not negative. It's positive. But it includes so much more. Not just that I don't do these certain things, have other gods before me, or do other things on the Sabbath day or whatever. He says, love God. God wants your love. Wow. What a bright light. Isn't that a brighter light? That's the sun shining in your eyes. It'll burn your eyes out. That's a bright light. Nothing negative about it. It's all positive. And then the second is like, he took the ten, made them two. But the two are more powerful than the ten. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You ever loved your neighbors yourself? You hypocrite if you tell me you do. You don't. You don't. I started chasing a little 16-year-old girl in school, in high school, and I married her when we were 18. I did not marry her to bless her. I married her because she was going to bless me. And you, I was selfish. Oh, I loved her. I tell you what, I loved her. I loved her all the way to the end. I still love her. But you know what? I was selfish. I think about the thing about getting saved. I didn't want to go to hell.
Amen.
I was a very selfish act on my part. I did not want to go to hell. And here I see the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ as He's interpreting the Old Testament. He's bringing it forward and giving you a new light, a bright light, a positive light. Love God supremely, love your neighbor as yourself. That's all you got to do. He's got two things there to do. Now, it's going to be mighty hard to do.
Amen.
But where'd that come from? Jesus Christ. That's not necessarily Old Testament things. Not that you can't find it in the Old Testament, you can. But Jesus turns it around and brings it to you. Think about prayer. This Bible's full of prayers. Prayers from the beginning, prayers from the end, over and over again. I tell you what, God likes praying. You ought to be praying to God. You ought to be knowing you're accepted to pray to God. Anybody can come to God through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You ever thought about the Lord's Prayer? How long is it? Shorter than most of your prayers on Wednesday night. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Wow. What did He do? He brought it down. God, make your will done on this earth. God, keep me from sin. Wow. The Lord's Prayer is short. One of the most effective prayers I can ever think of is the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross. Here's a man who didn't seem to be too religious. Here's a man that may have been a murderer as well as a thief. He was a thief. He confessed it. He was a sinner. He confessed it. And Jesus is hanging by him, and he's heard these people cursing and mocking and whatever, and maybe his buddy thief on the other side is throwing it in Jesus' mouth just like the people down on under the cross are doing it. And this man said, Lord. Do you think you could recognize that that guy in the center cross is a king? Would many people make that mistake? This guy is a king and he's got a kingdom and yet he's dying here in between two thieves? Wow. That's faith. He had a burst of faith. He said, what they're saying about him's true. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.
Amen.
You see the faith in that?
Yeah.
How big a prayer is that? Is it effective? Jesus said, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Woo! I'd a whole lot rather do that than walk up before the tabernacle with a goat. and shed his blood, feed the priest, and my sins are gone for a year. Well, do you see how much more light there is in the New Testament?
Yes, yes. Amen.
That's what Paul, when he was writing this thing, he's writing it to Jews so they can see how Jesus fulfills and surpasses and outshines with greater glory anything in the Old Testament. Anything. All right. Being made so much better, that's verse 4, than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. All right. I've been teaching the book of Revelation here a while back, and I closed out with a big angel. Big angel. His face is in the sun. He's got one foot on the sea and the other foot on the land, and they're burning fire in his legs. He's covered with the clouds, and he has a great big hand. Now, I have a big print Bible up here that I preach from. That would be pretty small in his hand. He tells him, go take the book out of his hand, the little book. I believe that little book was what I got right here. Wow, what an angel. Is that grand and glorious and beautiful and fantastic and magical and godly? Yeah. There was a king that had a problem. He had a big army outside of Jerusalem, and he is just outside his city, and they were being starved out. And they made some threats against God. And he took it into the temple and he laid it out before God. That's where he met God in that day. In the Old Testament, that's where you met God. You had to pray towards that temple. You had to go to that temple. You had to make a ride with that temple to make your sacrifice. It was all there. It was in a place. And you know what an angel did? One angel. One angel came out from God, and he says they all woke, 185,000 all woke up dead men. I love the way it's phrased. 185,000. Wow, that's something. That's what an angel can do. Now, what did I just read to you? Being made, verse 4, so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Jesus is better than the angels. That's what he's telling you right there. Paul's telling you. All those angels you've read about that are written about in all the Old Testament, and there are a lot of angels. And we have their message coming down. Sometimes they look like men. By the way, they don't look like women. I don't ever find a female angel in the Bible. And I'm not telling you ladies that you're not going to heaven like I have a time or two with Revelation. Because there is silence in heaven by the space of half an hour, and what woman could be quiet for half an hour? Where's Randy? I've had a lot of fun on that one. I used to go in revival meetings, and I tell them, tomorrow night I'm going to prove to you from the Bible there are no women in heaven. Oh, they'd pick on me. They'd be mad. I just loved it, just having fun, you know. You know how I am. I tell you what, he's better than the angels. No matter how big your angel is, no matter how great those angels are, and we think about Michael and the devil fighting back there in Daniel, and him telling about the fighting and the warfare, and they were held up, the word of God was held up for a couple of weeks. Jesus is better than the angels. Amen?
Amen.
Well, look at chapter 3, verse 1. I'm not going to preach the whole book. Look at chapter 3. I'm going to read the first three verses. Wherefore, that's from what all that's gone before, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. Now, who is that? Christ Jesus. The apostle and high priest of our profession, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as was Moses, As also Moses was faithful in all his house, for this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Inasmuch as he who had builded the house hath more honor than the house. Moses is a great man. Moses is a great man. He's a great man in history. He's a great man in the Bible. He's a deliverer. He delivered a couple of million souls from the biggest army in the world without a big army. Isn't that something? With a staff. A shepherd's staff in his hand. I've got one sitting right by my front door. I've got a shepherd's staff. It's about as long as me and it has a hook on the end of it. He said, Jesus is better than Moses.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Jesus is better than Moses. Amen. Don't be trying to correct me with the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, not when I got New Testament truth. Amen. Jesus is better than.
Amen.
As great as Moses was, he's the lawgiver. Everybody around the world knows the Ten Commandments. They know it. Even if in their law they didn't trace it back to Moses, it came from there. You got these Ten Commandments. They're great. How about the first five books of the Bible? That's the first five books I read of it. And boy, I was confused. You would be too. You need to start in Romans and John. You don't need to start in Leviticus. And all those numbers and names and, man, you can't pronounce them. You don't know what they mean. No, listen to me. Moses was absolutely great. He was a great man in his own person. He was a great man as a soldier. He was a great man as a spokesman for God Almighty. Moses was great, but Jesus is greater.
Amen.
Moses in all of his glory can be lifted up and say, wow, as you look at the story. Then you take a look at Jesus Christ and he so far outshines it. It's
Amen.
like a pin light in the face of the sun.
Amen.
Jesus is better than Moses. That's what he's trying to tell you here.
Right.
As great as Moses is, and however you much want to lift him up, how much credit you want to give the man, and he was an honorable, honest, great man. Really. A great soldier, a great deliverer. This man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Well, look at chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick, that means alive, and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints of marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Yeah, the Word of God. You read it, it'll pick away your heart. Neither is there any other creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of whom with whom we have to do. You know that, don't you? The dark doesn't hide you from God.
Amen.
Being in a building where you can't be seen and being private does not hide you from God. Everything is naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Seeing then, look at verse 14, that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let's hold fast our profession. Jesus not only better than Moses, better than Aaron. God picked Aaron. God set Aaron apart. They didn't vote on Aaron. God picked him. Aaron, you're going to be my high priest. And when two of his sons didn't obey like they should have obeyed and put strange fire on the altar, he killed them. Boom. Told Aaron, don't you mourn for your sons. Mm-hmm. How about that? That's law.
Yeah.
That's law. How do you live with that?
Mm-hmm.
That's a little bit hard.
Amen.
One of my sons died, I'd be crying. I'd be mourning. It would take me a while. And I know they're saved and going to heaven. Jesus is a greater priest than Aaron.
Yeah.
Wow. I went this morning before my priest. I've gone today before my priest. I can go anytime. I don't need a sacrifice. It's already been made. I don't have to lead a bullock up there. I don't have to lead a goat up there. It's already been made. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin.
Amen.
If you confess your sin, you got to confess. Don't come up to God. Well, God, sure nice to see you today. No, you better come to God with repentance. You got plenty to repent of. Some of you that think you're all right, you probably need to be repentant.
Right. Yes, sir. Yeah,
you need a revival in your own heart.
Right.
Better than Aaron. Better than Moses. Better than the angels. Look at verse 22. Well, I don't know where I'm at there. Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Wow. He's telling you the New Testament's better than the Old Testament. Well, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, amen.
Oh, I'm thankful for all the information in the Old Testament. I believe it's absolutely true. I don't believe it's false in any way. And I believe anywhere that it seems to look different than science, science is wrong. They change the science book every year.
Yeah.
Ask the science teachers. They got to give them something new all the time. This book right here has been going around for an awful long time.
Right.
By so much was Jesus made the surety of a better testament. And there truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Brian taught us this morning. Death changes us. That's like the popes. If you were really counting on a good pope, and I'm not saying there haven't been some good men, but if you're really counting on a good one, he doesn't live long. Another thing I know about old men, they die. I can no longer die a young man. You know that? I can no longer die young. Leave a beautiful corpse and a happy memory. I'm an old man. I don't have a choice. I got to die old. And that's what these priests are going to do. And that's what those popes are going to do. And that's what your president's going to do. And it even happens to Billy Graham. Hey, he made it into its 100th year. That's something. This man, verse 24. This man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood.
Amen.
Jesus is a better high priest than Aaron. He's a better priest than any priest that the Old Testament ever had.
Amen.
None of them compare. When you look at it and you see, yes, he is better. Why? He ever liveth.
Amen.
He's not going to die. And I'm going to live with him. Isn't that wonderful? Look at verse 25. Wherefore, because of what I've said before, this better testament, these better priests, this one priest that lives forever, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him.
Amen.
I can go anywhere. I could have gone up to Adolf Hitler and said, if you'll repent of your sins, Christ can save your soul. I could have said the same thing to Joseph Stalin. They probably would have had me shot before I got through talking the very first sentence. But at any rate, I'm telling you, because of Jesus Christ, there is no sin. But the sin against the Holy Ghost where you reject the truth of God. Every other sin. You come to Jesus Christ, you confess your sin, you ask for mercy. God can save your soul and wipe you clean and take you into heaven just like he did that thief on the cross.
Amen.
That thief on the cross didn't have a chance to get baptized. He didn't have a chance to make a testimony before the church. He didn't have a chance for anybody to watch his life and see if he was real. He was real all right, because Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise."
Amen.
What a prayer. What a prayer. What an example. That's not an exception. That's the rule.
That's right.
Whoever sins and whatever sins they've had, come before God, confess your sin, ask for Him to, "Lord, save me, remember me." God knows what you're praying. He's able to save them to the uttermost. Some of the guys I've known that are preachers of the gospel in the last 60 years were really rough guys. Some of them had been to prison. Some of them had murdered. Some of them had done an awful lot of things. But boy, some of them really did good preach too. They were tough as nails. But He can save to the uttermost. I don't care how bad your sin has been. I don't care how your life has gone. I don't care how many things you've got to repent of. He can save you. Because the blood of Jesus Christ in the New Testament is not like the blood that went into the altar. It's the blood of the eternal Son of God, God in the flesh. All the fullness of the Godhead bodily resided in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So when you looked at Him, you were looking at God. Amen. He says, "Philip, have I been so long a time with you and you don't know me? You haven't figured out who it is talking to you? You're talking to God."
Amen.
Wow. What revelation. What light. Yeah, this New Testament is light. I just want you to know. Better than the sacrifice. Look at chapter 10, beginning at verse 10, Hebrews 10:10. "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." How many times?
Once.
Just once. When we take the Lord's table tonight, it's not sacrificing Jesus over. That's not His body. That's not His blood. It is not another sacrifice. It's a remembrance feast. He didn't tell you to celebrate His birth. He told you to celebrate His resurrection. He said, "This do in remembrance of me." That's why I do it. And it helps me to remember it all the time. It's worth coming to. There truly were offering of body of Jesus Christ once for all. "Every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins." That's going on right now. It's been going on for the last 22 or 2,000 years. Every priest standing daily ministering and offering the same sacrifices. They can never take away sin. You understand? You can go through the sacrifices. It's meaningless. The New Testament, we know there was one sacrifice for sins forever.
Amen.
Never to be repeated. That one sacrifice has enough righteousness in it to save every sinner in the world or that has ever lived. That blood was carried to the heavenly tabernacle in heaven up there and spread before God over that mercy seat there. And if you're in Christ Jesus, you're saved, and it's glorious.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Nothing in the Old Testament can compare to it.
That's right.
And that's what the writer of the book of Hebrews was trying to tell you. He's able to save them to the uttermost.
Amen.
Verse 27. "He doesn't need daily as those high priests offer up sacrifice first for his own sins." He doesn't have to pray and ask for forgiveness like I do.
Amen.
He doesn't have to pray and ask the Lord to make me sincere and give me love and whatever and help me not to think of myself right now, think of my own things, but to think of what I could do for somebody else. Jesus didn't have to do that.
Yes, amen.
This He did once when He offered up Himself. Look at chapter 10:10. by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. It is a crying shame that millions of people who call themselves Christians are thinking they're sacrificing Jesus today. That's a crying shame. That is a misunderstanding of the truth of the gospel. I'll tell you what. Offering a body of Jesus Christ once for all. This man, verse 12, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. Wow. Is that glorious? Is that beautiful? Can you thank God for that? I've been thanking God for that every day since I saw it. Lord, wow. A lot of churches are trying to tell people to be good so they can go to heaven. You can't be good. You ever figure that out? You are made to where you can't be good. Not in you. It's not in you to live for other people like that. It's not in you to live for God like that. And I'm so thankful I have somebody who did it for me. It was a gift.
Amen.
I didn't work for it. I didn't earn it. I'm not working to keep it.
Amen.
I'm just thankful I've got it.
Thank you, Jesus.
He gave me eternal life.
Amen.
I already have eternal life. And one of these days they're going to throw dirt in my face. That's all right. You need to get this old body out of the way where nobody can see it. But I tell you what, I ain't going to be there. Excuse my English. I ain't going to be there. I'm going to be walking the streets of glory.
Amen.
Why? Because I'm any good? Because I preached the gospel? No! Because Jesus gave it to me.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Did he give you that?
Amen.
Do you have the assurance you've been given that?
Thank you, Lord.
There is a Savior.
Amen.
Bless his heart. He was a wonderful Savior. I want you to know it's one sacrifice.
Amen.
For sins forever. Now look at verse 14. Some of you that are trying to really get holy, by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified.
That's right.
You're already there.
Right.
It's in Jesus. It never would be in you.
Right.
You're too weak and failing, and you've got so much inheritance in you all the way back from Adam and then Noah and then I don't know who all else. Wow. Aren't we a mess by ourselves? Don't feel so proud when you walk into the church about my new clothes. I got a new shirt or I got some new shoes on. Or, you know, I'm doing real good. My bills are paid. Praise God, I can go out to eat. Don't have to worry about it. Oh, man. Everything you got's a gift. But if you have this, you are rich beyond the wildest dreams of any of the lost in the world. No matter what they have billions of dollars. It makes no difference. You're rich. Christ has saved your soul. He's changed your life. You know what? You ought to be a repentant person. You really ought to be a repentant person. Do you know chapter 3? Look back at chapter 3 with me a minute. Chapter 2, verse 3, rather. Excuse me. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and gifts of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
How shall we escape? If you neglect this salvation, there is no hope for you. You don't want to turn it down. You don't want to ignore it. You might have been coming around here 10 years, and if you realize today you're not saved, get up out of that chair and come down here and pray.
Amen.
Take Christ as your Savior. Let Him be your Savior. Trust Him and Him alone. If you neglect this, there is no hope for you. There's no hope for you. If you're here and you're not saved, bless your heart, get saved.
Amen.
Come down and talk to me. Talk to Billy. Talk to Brian. Talk to Robert. There's some people around here. They got a Bible in their hand. Talk to them. And when they get to where they can't answer, they'll bring you to one of us. Don't walk out the doors lost.
Right.
Brother Joe was telling me about a real rough guy, criminal, thug, whatever. He was listening to Billy Graham. And Billy Graham was saying how God would save his soul, and he could save any sinner, and he could forgive all sin. And he said, he doesn't know what I've done. And then he said he came in, the TV thing came in, and had the picture, just the face of Billy Graham, and he said, I mean yours. It struck him and he got saved. He'd been a preacher of the gospel for a while. Praise the Lord!
Amen.
He can save you.
Right.
He can forgive you. He can make you as righteous as Him.
Right.
He took your sins up on the cross of Calvary. He paid your debt unto God Almighty. And bless your heart, the New Testament, every bit of it, is better than the old. It's brighter. It's more glorious. It's clearer. It has much more confidence.
Amen.
Praise God. Let's turn to hymn number 117. We're going to sing it through. This altar's open. Some of you Christians ought to get your heart right with God.